Alright, Blind Cool Tech, 226, November 14, 05. We are once again using the MicroTrack with a different setting. I was very happy with this morning's. Alright, you guys have a good one. I can't believe that simply putting the windscreens on these mics made so much difference. And what we did different on this setting was move the microphone sensitivity to high. And hopefully we won't... Well, there you go. Hopefully we won't be getting that boom, boom, boom thing with every step. Hey, you too. Good doggy. It's raining outside, so that should be a good experience for us. I want to talk with you all some more today about the pick on digital recorders. We started this conversation this morning, but we really didn't get to finish the material. That's it, little buddy. Good doggy. I'll have to see how badly it's raining out here. Hopefully not too bad. Oh yeah, it is. I think maybe I better call for a ride. Well, if I had my raincoat on, I would go for it. I love to walk in the rain.
Right, 11/12/1000, 5/0. 10/11/10/1000.
Well, all right. So we'll call this way. The digital recorder question is tough one. Like we were talking about, we were about to get to the WS series. Before we do that, though, let me talk a little bit about this micro track. That recording I made this morning, I didn't know if it was going to come out or not. And it actually came out pretty darn good. And like I said, the only difference was that I put the wind screens on the mic, so it could be that that mic was, I don't understand how it was moving at all, because it was in my ear on the way home Friday night. I don't have a clue about that. Why it would matter in the least. But what's interesting is you'll notice about this recording that I made this morning, and hopefully this one, is that there was no clipping in it. We had the level set pretty low. And I think there were a couple places that clipped, like where the bus brakes squealed and where I dropped Jake's bowl down into the sink. And I went in with a wave editor and with Studio Recorder, in fact, and just brought the level down a little bit on those two areas. And then, let's see, did I normalize that file at all? Can't remember. I must have. But my goal is to get a recording, you know, if there's a clip or two on a really loud noise, I'm not going to worry about that. You know, brief ones. Oh, another clip that happened this morning was where I knocked that sign over on the counter at the bagel shop. But I would rather try to get the recording level, you know, optimum for the most situations. I guess the real way to handle this would be to have a limiter on here that could handle those really loud situations. But the MicroTrack does not have a limiter. The Eddie Roll does. So there was also the issue of ease of use. And you cannot by any stretch of the imagination call this MicroTrack easy to use. I don't know if the added flexibility of being able to edit the WAV file is going to be worth it or not. The iRiver is actually fairly easy to use once you get used to it, but again, there's going to be no editing unless you want to decode and encode again. The DS2, you have to decode because it's in WMA, but you do get the 128, so you got a little headroom there, 128 kbps. As far as ease of use goes, the Olympus, both of them, the DS2 and the WS series, are extremely easy to use. That built-in speaker just makes a world of difference. The beeps are fantastic to let you know what's going on. And they make good recordings. I mean, you know, both of them have a built-in mic. That's terrific. Well, so does the iRiver. In fact, on the iRiver, the built-in mic even has automatic gain control, which is very nice, too. At least for the kind of work we're doing. Now, professionals, you're not going to want that. Yeah, I might walk up to the front of the building. Maybe I should take a cab. Well, I guess I'm really not in that big hurry to get home. Man, when I heard that weather forecast this morning, I should have turned around and got my raincoat. What's up, girl? I was gonna walk home, but it's raining.
It's pouring, babe.
I see that. Yeah. Pardon me? I'm gonna call somebody. Oops. Thanks. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Go right here.
What's up, Jake? Yep, you too. Well, maybe. You know what? It's not so bad. That awning actually made it sound worse than it was. I always wanted to record walking in the rain anyway. Because what's so cool about the rain, you can hear it hitting things around you. Like cars that are parked on the side of the road, or you know, dripping off a building. So you get a kind of a neat perspective. Alright, we are taking a left. Along Frankfort Avenue now. Yeah, it's just really barely sprinkling. Oh, the branches are low though. Man, it has cooled off quite a bit too. Head's gonna get wet from these branches more than anything. Got some pretty good wind going too, so hopefully these windscreens are going to be good enough for us. So as far as picking up a recorder and just getting it going, you cannot beat the two models of Olympus that we know about anyway. Now, I wish there were someone out there that knew more about the Sony recorders. I believe actually Scott Rakowski over in Australia is doing his cast with the Sony, so Scott, it might be really cool to give us the lowdown on that recorder. I know it's some good quality. I'm not sure. Attaboy. Good dog. I'm not sure about... Let's go straight. Good boy. What format those files come in? I'd heard rumors that they were in some Sony proprietary format, but I had no idea. I believe that Philips and Panasonic also make some small digital recorders. But as I was researching this, I found that most of these recorders are still back in the dark ages as far as the amount of RAM that they're using. So this Olympus WS300 series is the first one with a decent amount of RAM. Although the iRiver IFP899 comes with a gig also. It's just, I think they added the recording's not an integral part of it. You know, it just another feature that happens to be on there and happens to be fairly easy to use. Now, Daryl Shandro reports that the iRiver T10 and T30 are not that easy to record with. You actually have to go into a menu to start the recording. That's actually the way it is on the Arcos with Rockbox too, but the difference is with Rockbox, the menus are accessible. The bad thing about the iRiver too is that it's very, very difficult to set the levels with outside of the system. At least in my opinion it is. Now the Olympus ones, you don't worry about that because there are no levels to set. You either set it to sensitive or not sensitive. Or I believe they call it dictation and conference mode. It really is quite chilly out here. Now when you get to something like the Eddie Roll R1 or the MicroTrack from M-Audio, you're really talking a whole nother class of digital recorders. Uh-oh, it's starting to come down now. I'm going to get my microphones wet. I might need to duck into a doorway up here. These recorders are both, you know, they can do 24-bit even and record direct to wave. Oh, come on, light. I'm getting soaked. boy, yeah, I gotta take cover.
Walk sign, Frankfort Avenue.
There you go.
Walk sign, Frankfort Avenue.
Good doggy. Alright, let's find a doorway to get in up here. Somewhere out of the rain. Chain link fence on the right, so that ain't helping much. Let's go inside. Inside. Still got a chain link fence. Inside. Still there. What I do there is kind of point to the right. Let Jack take me over there. See what's going on. Man, I hope I don't ruin these microphones. Man, now we're at a building. Let's go inside. Hey there. I don't know what this place is. Maybe it's not somebody's house. Let's see what it's doing. Coming down pretty good. Thing about these high-end recorders. Here we go. Okay, come on. Well, no, it's still pretty back inside. Hey, boo. Oh man, a train. Yeah, I wish I'd have caught it a little sooner. A train in the rain. Should be a country song. What a pain. It just ain't the same. Yeah, there's a place up here at Clifton's Pizza where I can stand underneath. A little bit of shelter where Shelly can see me. I have no idea what that building was that I was in. There didn't seem to be anybody around. We're going to go straight. We're going to let you go to the bathroom when you get home. Good boy. Keeps looking over there. Aren't you forgetting something? Good dog. Oh, I probably could have gone ahead and walked. Yeah, let me call Shelly back. Let's quit. Hold on, little buddy. Let me get my phone. Where are you going? Oh, you can't go pee over there. Oh yeah, I guess you can. Hey, never mind, I'm good. It's pretty much quit now. Yep, I'll see you in a minute. Where are you going? Without me? Oh, okay. She is. Okay. Alright, well have fun. Alright, bye. Okay. What I was going to say about on television when you a movie camera does a shot of a car with spokes on it, or a vehicle, the wheels will often make a complete or a near complete revolution between frames. So, you know, obviously the way a movie camera works is that we've got this light, we're gonna go, but it takes a snapshot so many times a second. I think in the case of, I could be wrong about this, but isn't it 30 times a second? Just like audio does 44,100, at least at that sample rate. But what happens is if the wheel makes, say, 3/4 of a revolution at each snapshot, and then you look at the series of snapshots or the footage, it looks like the wheels are turning backwards. It's kind of an interesting thing too, because if you watch a vehicle take off, the wheels will appear to be turning correctly until it gets to a certain speed, and then it looks like they start going backwards. Well, I wonder if the same thing is true in audio. Now, you'd have to have something moving pretty darn quickly. But say in the case of this train, if there was a wheel hitting the track, like you hear that thunk, 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 that obviously wasn't happening in 22,050 times per second or anything, but if it was, say it was happening at 22,000 or 21,000 times per second, would it not appear in the stereo image? Well, no, I guess that's not applicable. I was going to say to go from right to left, or left to right, opposite of the way it was going, but that wouldn't be the case at all. You would just hear it. Let's see. Yeah, it just would sound distorted because the sound would be happening faster than we could capture it. The sound actually is a pretty slow thing. I remember one time when I was a kid, there was a guy down the street working on an old truck, doing some body work on it, and he had a big mallet pounding on the fender, and you could see his arm go down with the hammer, hit the fender, and then as his arm was all the way back in the air, then you would hear the sound. It really was funny. Interesting. All right, sorry for the diversion. Back to the best choice for a digital recorder. We've talked a lot about the iRiver and the Olympus, and starting to touch on these high-end recorders. Now you've also got to remember that these high-end recorders are, you know, 3, 4, 5 times the price and more. Like the one Neil reviewed, what did he say? It was $2,200 or something like that. But, you know, that is for the professional sound engineer. If you're just going to do a podcast or recording an event in your life, I'm not sure that the Olympus DS2 or the iRiver wouldn't be plenty good for you. Again, the thing with the DS2 or the WS series is that once you get some sighted help to set it up, it's pretty much click and go. You know, there's really nothing to adjust. The speaker's in there, the mic's built in, everything's ready to go. These higher-end recorders, on the other hand, you need to, you'll get some better recordings. You know, the degree of how much better is up to a lot of things, including what settings you use to record it, and what microphones you're using. A lot of parameters. But the problem is you're going to have to invest some time to learn how to set those things. And what worries me more is the fact that, one of the things we've got this light, so we're going to go ahead and go. The fact that, if it comes down to a situation where you're rushed and you've got something critical to record, man, those Olympus, if you're in doubt, you just hit the stop switch, hit record, slide the lock switch so that you don't accidentally hit any buttons, and you're going. You're pretty well assured that you're going to get a pretty darn decent recording, especially with an external microphone. These high-end ones, on the other hand, well, like in the case of this MicroTrack, you have to hold in the power button for a few seconds, and then theoretically the thing is going to boot up. Well, there's about 20 or 30 seconds there while the machine boots up, and then you're in a menu. So you have to hit the menu key to get out of the menu, and then hit the record key to start recording. Now at that point, you can set your levels and monitor on an earphone, set of earphones, and then you can slide the hold switch to prevent any accidental button hitting. But you don't actually know whether the thing booted up or not. In fact, I guess, good boy. I guess one little trick. I wonder who that is. It sounds like a friend of mine. One little trick with the micro track to see if it's actually on. Is to go through the boot up, hit the menu, and then just hit the play key and see if it plays anything. That's assuming you have a file in there. And we will, for the purpose of this discussion, assume that you do. So at that point, you can stop it and then hit record and pretty well be assured that you're recording. Now that's, your levels are still going to be a concern. I listened to a recording that Jonathan Mosen made, or I listened this morning, I don't know when he made it. It was on the Mosen Bloggy Bits podcast that he made with the Eddie Roll, who's called the Blind Texan, I think. The airplane trip he was taking, and he recorded an encounter going to the check-in counter and boarding the plane and getting ready to take off. Man, what an excellent recording. Now, I don't know whether he does post-processing on these things or what, but I thought that was a superb recording. It was nice and loud. Good boy. Jakey tries to take me around water puddles, even though he's half lab. And I had my first lab, he would happily just walk right through the middle of them. And then my two shepherds, neither one of them would go anywhere near them. Jake is kind of, he's very much like Fred. And listen to this. That's a cool sound. As long as we don't walk through it. Jake will kind of try to go around it unless I insist that we go straight. You know, maybe hold back on the harness or something. And that's kind of the way Fred was too. But anyway, these recordings that Jonathan made, which I believe he was using some binaural microphones, and the Eddie Roll, wow, they are crystal clear. Well, in fact, that recording I made this morning, even though I think my levels were just a little bit too low, that one I made this morning I thought was pretty darn good too. Now the question is it that much better than the iRiver or the DS2 to justify the extra hassle and expense? That might be a good question for you listeners. And what I really need to do, someone suggested this on the list, and I think we should probably all do this, and that is to identify the recorder and the microphone that we're using when we do especially a sound scene tour. Now, obviously, as we already mentioned, the fact that these recorders are going directly to wave is fantastic as far as being flexible, because Wave is your native sound format, and you can pull that recording you made into a Wave editor and do whatever you want with it, whether it be any effects or taking pieces out or adding explanations. I noticed one of the things Jonathan did was put some voiceovers on it, kind of like it was a television program or something. You know, now here's the Lion Texan riding across the prairies on his white cane or whatever. Ooh, bend that head down. So, when you've got them in Wave, you can bring your levels up, like I did this morning. I actually didn't have any clips because I had my recording level down so low, so I was able to go in and find the highest peaks, or a song like that, in the file, bring those levels down a little bit, and then I could change, I could normalize the good boy. So he went through that one. He slowed down though. I could normalize the whole file. I wished I could remember if we actually did that or not, because I think we were gonna try one raw. That's a pretty church bell. Don't tell me it can't be 5 o'clock already. Maybe that's just 4:30. Shelly's off today, so I don't have to watch Mars. In fact, she's just told me she's bringing Mars over to Donna's house, my ex-wife. Well, it must be 4:45. No, it's still going. We've got some pretty good steady breeze going here, so I hope these windscreens are at least somewhat dampening the effect of this wind noise. I've noticed I can generate wind noise even on a still day just by walking fast enough. Sometimes I'll have a earbud in one of my ears listening to podcast or reading a book, and I can hear wind noise like between the earbud and my ear. So that can certainly happen to these microphones too. But I would love to know, I'll have to get with Jonathan and ask him if he's doing any post-processing on those files. Now again, the difference between the recording I made this morning and this one, it's slowing down, is that, good boy, is that, hi, we put the mic sensitivity switch to high sensitivity for this afternoon's walk. And I think we might have lowered the levels down a little bit more too. We had them pretty low this morning. So this microtrack really only has, well, there's three analog slide switches on the left side. One for the key lock or hold feature, one for the microphone sensitivity, and then one for phantom power on a microphone. And then on the right side, there's a kind of an analog type control that I think Neil might have described this when he was talking about the microtrack. It's sort of a little wheel that you can either push up or down or in. So, you like press it in to make it play, press it in again to make it pause. Good doggy. And it's completely quit ringing now. The thing is, I'm really, for the purposes of sound seeing tours, I would like to capture a sound that is good, but it doesn't have to be pristine. Now, if you can make it sound like you're there, that's pretty much good enough. Then. This one might be a degree better than the iRivers recordings, but I don't know if it's worth the extra hassle and expense. I was just telling Rob this morning, to me, the ultimate podcaster's kit, at least for short recordings, are the binaural microphones and the Olympus DS2. I mean, that's when that thunderstorm came up the other night, you know, I was ready to get out there and become a lightning rod. I mean, a recording magnet. But, I might have had time, and believe me, I think we're supposed to get some storms tonight and tomorrow, and I'm going to be out there with the MicroTrack. Rob's pretty confident that I should put it on low sensitivity, so he's the audio expert. I will definitely comply with that, but I'd like to see how much better of a recording we can get. I actually thought that thunderstorm came out really well. I mean, the Olympus just does a good job. They both do. Now, let me give you an example. The Halloween. The Haunted House sound scene tour. That Kenny Mitchell and I did. There it is. Good boy. On Halloween Eve is a good comparison. I actually did the first part of that with the iRiver, and the second part with the Olympus DS2. So it's a pretty easy comparison. If you just want to hear both of them, and you know, I made it so that the iRiver, I did not decode and re-encode that MP3. I just joined it up with the rest of the file, so I could preserve as much quality as I could out of it. I thought that was, there was some clipping in it. And, you know, this actually would have done a better job of turning down levels. And then you could go in afterwards and pull down those peaks a little bit and raise the rest of it up. Rob, in fact, is a big proponent of a more natural sound. And I think, as he puts it, use compression tastefully. Because a lot of sounds recorded these days are over-compressed. Okay, we're going to, we just turned on our street here, so we're going to wrap up this show and let you know that you can check our website out at blindcooltech.com. Call our comment line at 206-984-9203. Or you can drop us an email. The address is blindcooltech coltech@gmail.com. Good boy, little buddy. We're home. You hear the water running through my gutters up there. I was going to do some gutter cleaning with you guys Saturday, but I spared you. Easy. Hey, Fredsters. Hey, big guy. Jake, you're wet. Need some mud flaps for your belly, don't we? Hey, Fred. Did I ever tell you guys that when I got home from the seeing eye, we brought our little doggy beds with us, small little pan, and Jake started sucking on his. And he loves to suck on a rag or a towel or whatever. So I bring him, when I go on a trip, I'll bring a wash rag with me or something so that he can suck on it. Okay, I suppose that's going to do it for, what is this show, 226? I apologize. In fact, this morning I said it was November 15th, and obviously you guys already found out that it's really the 14th. So I'm going to shut off the recorder, and y'all have a great one. We will see you next time.